gathered by the light switch who watches over you. Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Hello and welcome to Jays from Home. I am sitting on a rocking chair, cleaning the dirt off of my glasses. I feel very much like an old man at this point. And speaking of being an old man, MLB is an old man because we are about to enter in something around like the 150th-ish, give or take a few seasons next week.
It can't be 150. We'd be hearing a lot about it, I'm sure.
Well, it's not, not exactly 150, but, you know, MLB started in the 1870s, I want to say, officially. Maybe it was 1869, I want to say. So it's over 150 years old, I want to say.
Well, this is episode 125 of Jays from Home, which
there
is hosted by me, Steve.
And me, Matt. You were setting me up to introduce myself right there, I see. Mm-hmm. And today, normally throughout the season, we're going to be doing it, I think, every other week. We'll be podcasting every other week. But today is a special day because the season starts for all the other teams except for the Dodgers and Padres on Thursday. And we have to do our annual tradition of the season preview.
Yes. And we've got a template. I filled it out separately on mine this time. I'm prepared. Actually, I was prepared last year too.
Yes.
But we also have some news and notes to go through. So I think we'll start off with all of that. I'm thinking maybe normally we start with Blue Jays news, but
there's some bigger news.
The biggest story is, although it is tangentially related to the Blue Jays, Shohei Ohtani's gambling scandal. Shohei and his interpreter, that whole scandal.
Yeah, and this kind of puts a damper on what happened in the off season with the plane. I think this is a much bigger issue for both Shohei, his interpreter, and for the Dodgers, and for Major League Baseball. There's lots going on, but in case people only listen to this podcast for baseball news, what has happened is that I guess on Tuesday or Wednesday before the Dodgers and Padres opened up their series and the season in Korea, in Seoul, South Korea, news came out that Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, Mizuhara was sat down with ESPN for like a 90-minute interview in which he basically admitted to having a gambling problem, in that Shohei Ohtani lent him money to pay off his gambling debts, and the number being bandied about is $4.5 million. And so that was about to come out, and then Shohei's team kind of changed the story, saying that he was involved in massive theft and fraud had occurred or something. And that seemed to a lot of folks like kind of a lawyer kind of ploy to kind of change the story a little bit, because I guess in California, there's a lot going on with this story. In California, It is illegal to bet and exchange money with bookies, and betting, and just regularly betting like with all the websites, is also illegal in California. But it's extra bad when you're wiring money to known bookies, and that's
a federal crime, apparently.
Yeah, that's basically what Ipe Mizuhara said Ohtani did, and so his lawyers came out and said, nope, that's not what we did. So nobody really knows exactly what's going on, what the true story is, what the truth is in this story. A good kind of timeline tweet here by Dallas Braden, ex-MLB pitcher, current Oakland A's broadcaster. Here's the rough timeline. He says, it starts with Ohtani rep going on record with ESPN stating Ohtani transferred $4.5 million himself to a bookmaker on behalf of Ipe. Spokesperson for Ohtani delivers Ipe to ESPN for statement. Ipe says Ohtani never bet and felt bad for him and paid off his debt, so he'd never do it again. Spokesperson for Ohtani says Ipe is lying after he gives his 90-minute interview statement to ESPN. Ohtani's lawyers claim massive theft. Ipe then says Ohtani had zero knowledge of his debt or his gambling habit in general. So that's yeah, that there's a lot of changing of the story going on with this situation.
Yeah, and there's no real indication on what's true and, like, which story, like, mm-hmm. whether the first story was not true somehow, and, like, yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of moving pieces, and I think we're not gonna know anything until, like, halfway through the season, I assume.
Yeah, and Andrew Stoughton tweeted a good point. I forget exactly what day he did this, but he I guess Ipe, as a translator, makes roughly around $85,000 in salary per year. And so it's interesting that a bookie let him accrue $4.5 million worth of debt if he's only making $85,000 a year. I don't think that adds up quite right if those facts are indeed true.
It's assuming if it's just one bookie. Like, I don't know if that's the case or not.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. It is one guy and see, like, another angle of the story is that, you know, he could be what people are saying is this bookie could be basically saying, bragging to his other clients that Shohei uses his services, or Shohei is sending him money. You know, and another thing I thought of, I don't know if I heard this on a podcast, but one thing I thought is maybe this bookie is kind of using Shohei as collateral over Ipe's head, kind of thing. That's just pure speculation on my behalf, but that could be a possibility too.
Yeah, well, at this point everything is pure speculation. There's been a couple of so there was an official statement from the Dodgers that's saying they're aware of the media reports and are gathering information. Ipe Mizuhara was terminated, in meaning fired. He wasn't destroyed completely or anything.
No.
Team made no further comment, but MLB did come out and bury a news story that they are investigating the allegations.
Attempted to bury. I think this was an unburyable story that they tried to dump off at 5 o'clock on a Friday night.
Yeah, almost 6 o'clock, apparently. There's an article that the time is labeled 5:12 p.m. Central. Six 6 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, it was an attempt.
Yeah, and it was, you know, initially they said that they weren't investigating, which would have been a huge mistake. They have to investigate this.
Yeah,
and we've talked about gambling before on the podcast. Like, this is just one of those things that's gonna happen, and it totally blew up in MLB's face, because this is, you know, the premier guy in the league. Like, Shohei Ohtani is the guy. He's won multiple MVPs. He's you know, people love him.
It's not like Shane Pinto of the Ottawa Senators getting suspended half the season. It's not quite the same level of player.
And you know, like, we don't know really what these players' personal lives are like, but at least the way that, you know, Shohei Ohtani has put himself out there, or not put himself out there, because we really don't have a ton of information, but he doesn't seem like a guy who would be much of a gambling type person. And another important factor that I heard on some of the podcasts going around is, I think it was maybe Cespedes Family Barbecue that said this one, he deferred, like, I don't know, like 90% of his salary with the Dodgers. So, like, a gambling addict, that's not the behavior of a gambling addict necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
Although he does make other money, other income in endorsements and things like that.
So, yeah, and I sent you a note saying that maybe Toronto dodged a bullet by not signing him, because everybody was saying that Shohei going to Toronto would be bad for baseball. Just imagine if this scandal came out and he had signed with the Blue Jays.
It's definitely going to until this investigation and this whole situation has been put to bed. It's definitely something that's going to be following the Dodgers over the course of the entire season, and we will talk about that a little bit in our preview, which is coming up soon.
Yeah. Did you want to stay with the Dodgers before we get into our Jays notes? Because you have a couple of scores here.
Yes, because the Dodgers and the Padres did officially open up the 2024 MLB season in Seoul, South Korea, at Gocheok, I think is how you say it, at the Sky Dome in Gocheok. They call it the Sky Dome over there.
Soon to become the Rogers Center in Korea, South Korea.
Well, whatever the Korean word for Rogers is. So game one, Dodgers beat the Padres 5-2. It was Tyler Glasnow versus Yu Darvish. Xander Bogaerts drives in the first run of the MLB season with a single in the bottom of the third. Teoscar Hernandez, familiar face for the Dodgers, scored on a Jason Hayward sac fly in the top of the fourth. The Padres pitchers in that game had, I think there was four pitch clock violations, which was seemingly a lot.
Well, didn't they increase the time for the pitch clock?
They decreased the time. It's 18 seconds now. Okay. But you know what? You know what's funny? Maybe it's just the infrastructure of the stadium, but I didn't notice any pitch clock counting down in the broadcast. So that was interesting. And the Dodgers, they scored two runs in the top of the eighth after a ball was hit through the webbing of Jake Cronenworth's glove, which Vladdy can sympathize with that play.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. And Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani hit back-to-back RBI singles. And this game came after after they had a team meeting about the whole situation. So it didn't seem to affect their play in this game.
Right. And then they played a second game, which had a lot of runs.
Yeah. The Padres even the series. They beat the Dodgers 15-11. And if you remember, the Dodgers, their second big signing of the offseason was Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who they signed to, I think, like a 12-year, whatever the term was, $325 million deal. I think they're saying that he's the highest paid pitcher in MLB history. He gave up five runs and only lasted one inning in his very first official MLB start.
It sounds like some Blue Jays pitcher debuts for the last couple seasons.
Yeah. So it turned out to be somewhat of a close game, considering, you know, the five run outburst in the first inning, because, you know, the Dodgers came back and scored a lot of runs. I watched about half of this while running on the treadmill, and the first inning alone lasted 3 kilometers for me.
I see.
That's about at least 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right.
And I fast forwarded through commercials too.
So I have a question though. So for the Dodgers and the Padres, is their spring training finished, or do they go back to their spring training complexes ahead of the regular season?
They have a few games left still. I think there's like, there's some more games on the weekend, but
I find that really
spring
weird.
Training for all the teams officially ends on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday's the last game, day of spring training games.
That's a little weird to me. I feel like if they've already started their regular season, then their spring training should be done.
But you know, they've still got some work to do with the players, and they've got to get used to that change in time coming back. So I think it's fair.
I suppose, and I guess they got to get used to the extra attention around the Shohei scandal.
Well, that's nothing they can do about that. But just think about this: like they're in. They are both West Coast teams. So, you know, it was 6 a.m. Eastern time when the game started in Korea. But that would be like 3 a.m. Pacific time. So they've got even more of an adjustment to do to their body clocks.
All right. I guess, do you want to go into Blue Jays notes then? Because we've
got a few things
here.
Yeah, so I guess maybe we should start from the bottom here. Now, I don't think it was official when we were talked about it last week.
No.
But the Jays officially named Jose Berríos opening day starter earlier in the week.
Yep. So that's not a big surprise. I mean, there's not much to choose from, really.
Yeah, I suppose. And I skipped over a little bit here, I guess. And you sent me the note on this, and I found the official TSN link to it, but Toronto Blue Jays relievers Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson are each dealing with arm injuries.
Yeah, inflammation. Doesn't sound like there's anything like structurally wrong with either of them, so that's positive, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, hopefully they won't be gone too long, but I don't think they'll be starting the season with the Jays.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And then there was a trade. Not surprising that the Blue Jays traded Santiago Espinal away.
Yeah, Yeah, I think a lot of people speculated this move was going to happen. It was, I think, maybe a little bit surprising that it happened so late, but, you know, there a lot of moves happened late this spring training. Yeah, he was traded to the Reds in exchange for, where's the trade? There we go. I was down too far. In exchange for minor league right-hander Chris McElveen.
Right, and so I guess that basically the Reds needed some infielders due to injuries.
Well, yeah, due to injuries, they actually signed a whole lot. They have a whole lot of infielders on hand, but yeah, they signed earlier in the offseason Jaime Candelario, the switch hitter that some Jays fans were kind of looking at as maybe a Matt Chapman replacement. So he's got a spot on the team, but their top prospect, Nuelvi Marte, was suspended 80 games for a performance-enhancing substance called boldenone. I'm not sure how you pronounce that, if that's proper
pronunciation. Boldenone? He's
Boldenone? I don't know. And anyways, he's just tested positive, so he's out 80 games. So that's a big blow for their infield. And as well, their second baseman, Matt McClain, has an injured left shoulder, so you know, Espinal will get some playing time, which I think is what a lot of you know, his teammates were happy about, because he wasn't going to fit in to the you know, to all the moves that are happening with the Jays, and I think basically that makes, like, is it Ernie Clement that is going to make the spot for permanently this year?
That's what it sounds like, or at least he's going to get a lot of time.
He's going to get more time. Yeah. We're going to see more Ernie Clement, and he was a good defensive player.
Yeah, and one thing I didn't know about, I think it's Clement, by the way.
Oh, Clement. Sorry.
Heard this offhand in At the Letters podcast. He was a former Oakland A, so another. That's what they said. So another case of the Blue Jays getting a good or decent player from the Athletics.
Well, he must have been in their system, because I don't think he's ever been in the majors other than it with Toronto.
Next item on here, just an announcement for the pitching staff, and I guess, you know, not a huge surprise here either. Bowden Francis will be in the pitching rotation to start the season. I mean, with at least two pitchers down, they need somebody to be in the rotation, and he had some. He had not a start last season, but his debut, we were at the game that he debuted. He had, I think, I can't remember who was the opener, but he came in afterwards, and he pitched pretty well throughout the last half of the season, I think.
Yeah, and in spring training as well. And I want to circle back to the Reds, actually. Because you'll see why in just a minute, because with the Santiago Espinal trade, the first text that Espinal got, according to C-Trans Rosencrantz, a tweet from him, was that he got a text from Joey Votto, who said he'd love joining the Reds. And I'm mentioning Joey Votto because we played his home run off the top after his very first swing with the Blue Jays last week. And subsequently afterwards, he stepped on a baseball bat and did something to his ankle. I don't think it's super serious, but that is going to affect his opportunities, at least opening the season with the Jays. Because we're talking about who's in, who's out. The Jays just recently also announced that they released Eduardo Escobar, who they signed in the new year at some point, because there was no room for him. So it's looking like, you know, like Davis Schneider, Vogelback, Clement, the likes of those guys are going to make the team.
Yeah, and then another, the last seems to be the last note here. Another player making the team, catcher Brian Servin. I keep wanting to read it as Severn, but it's Servin.
Yeah, I think I forget the name of the other guy, but the option was basically defense first versus offense first, and Servin is defense first, which is the right way to go for especially if he's just temporary for your backup catcher.
Yeah, and that's because Jansen is injured to start the season, like we mentioned last week.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
and that's it for Jay's news as of 20 after 11 a.m. on a Sunday. But there's going to be lots more coming out this week because they're, you know, I don't think the rotation has been totally set yet. There's going to be some bullpen announcements. They're going to officially announce, you know, their full roster at some point, but it hasn't been done yet to my knowledge. So lots more news to come, but, you know, there was lots of news, for spring training. There was lots of news that came out this week for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Shohei Ohtani notwithstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. okay. So should we go into our weekly outcomes then?
Yes. Yes. So why don't you, start us off, speaking of Shohei?
My strikeout is just the Ohtani. I just wrote Ohtani, but it's the Ohtani situation. It's just unfortunate for the game. We talked about it already, so I don't need to go into too much more depth about it, but it's just too bad that, you know, we have this just to start the season. And, I also listed as a strikeout because, and I think many other fans are in the same boat. It's doubtful that he's going to face much penalty if depending on what the investigations turn up.
Well, here's what I'm hopeful but not expecting of. I'm hopeful that MLB will do a thorough investigation and that if he is in any way responsible, he will be, you know, he'll face some consequences. I'm also hopeful that he is not responsible. I'm hopeful that Shohei Ohtani, this was a misunderstanding on his part, and this will not result in any suspension on his end, because it's good for the game to have Shohei Ohtani playing well for the Dodgers, you know? MLB is notoriously not great at being very transparent in their investigations, and also they are not very as we can see from this scandal, they are short-sighted. They don't look ahead to potential pitfalls of, say, partnering with gambling websites. what the fallout could result.
Well, and just one final thought about that, I guess. Like, unless it turns out that Ohtani committed a federal crime, like, it's a private organization, so they can be as strict or lenient as they want with any kind of punishment. So it's hard to say what's going to happen. So,
well, yeah, as far as MLB goes, but if there's some sort of criminal punishment, then that's a different story altogether.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, it's if there's no federal crime, then who knows what'll happen. But
yeah. Anyway. So it's an ongoing story. We will not hear the end of this anytime soon, I don't think. But I'll go with my strikeout. My strikeout is the AL East, because this is the toughest division yet again in Major League Baseball. We will delve into this in our preview, but it's just, you know, the Blue Jays have their work cut out for them this year. That's all I'm going to say as far as that goes.
Yeah, I could. I'll keep silent about that too. Okay, no decision. I just put in the pitching rotation. I really don't know what to think about it to start the season. So what? It'll be Berríos, then Kikuchi, and then probably Francis, and who knows from there? Maybe Mitch White.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I guess I'll wait until we hear the full rotation.
There's also a name I'm forgetting, but I don't know. But
Chris Bassett.
Oh yeah, Chris Bassett. Right. So he's probably
the number two guy at this point. Yeah. I guess Kikuchi had based on what I was reading on Twitter, a bit of a rough start over the weekend or something. But so hopefully there won't be any, like, we'll get the same pitching performance from whoever's healthy this year.
Yeah. So I'm kind of just, I don't know what to think of the pitching rotation right now because we don't have the full picture because of injuries, and who knows what'll. Hopefully the offense will kind of help support the weakened pitching rotation in the first few weeks of the season.
Well, yeah, it's like if we're basing it on last year, that's not an expectation we can assume.
Yeah. So what is your no decision or home run?
My no decision is just we're going to see some new faces on the roster. And it's really nice to see new faces on the roster, but we don't know necessarily how they're going to perform. But, you know, I guess with Vogelbach, it's a new old face because he played for the Jays in the COVID season very briefly. Actually, I don't know if he actually played that much, but just nice to see some new regulars on the field. Like Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, he's a good defensive player. We're going to see more, like I said, of Ernie Clement. So it'll just be nice to see some new faces and hopefully some new and better results will come of that. But, you know, we never know.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess the new faces also means new lineup combinations and different things they can play around with. So interesting to see. We'll find out what happens. My home run, I think we're pretty similar in this. Just opening day around the corner. I mean, I've mentioned this last week. I haven't really been in touch with the Blue Jays all through this spring training. Like, I get the headlines and you send me stuff, but really not paying a lot of attention to them. But with opening day this coming Thursday, then, you know, be able to watch a game. I probably won't watch all of the first game because I think it starts at 4 o'clock or something. So I'm probably going to catch the later innings of the game.
Sure. And let me remind you, I'm going to give you my yearly reminder that I will be PVRing almost exclusively all of the games, so no spoilers until I send you info. So I will actually be probably watching the Blue Jays Rays game later that evening because that's right in the thick of after school pickup time. So I'm just gonna wait. I'm gonna probably the season starts with a Milwaukee Brewers versus New York Mets game at 1 o'clock. So I'll watch that game and then take a school pickup break, and then once all the kids are in bed, turn on the PBR Jays game.
I see. All right. I think that's it for our weekly outcomes. Are we going into our season preview now, or do you want to go over notes? Let's
for the Jays first before we go into the season preview, because I've got I forgot to put that into the notes here.
Oh yeah,
let's look at what the Blue Jays regular season, first week of the regular season, or first weekend of the regular season is going to look like. They will be facing off against on Thursday the Tampa Bay Rays. So it'll be Jose Berríos against Zach Eflin in Game One there.
Yeah. So I don't know anything about that pitcher. So I don't know if is that a tough matchup.
Zach Eflin, well he is historically the largest free agent signing for the Rays in team history last offseason. He came over from the Phillies, I want to say. He's their best starter. Again, it's hard to gauge what the Rays are going to be like every year because they get rid of players, but they replace them with equally good players. So it's going to be a tough matchup. Last year, if you remember, they won their first 11, 12 games of the year. Mm-hmm. So they have a four-game series against the Rays from the Thursday through the Sunday. And then we'll talk about this next week, but they've got the Houston Astros on the road right after that.
All right, then. Okay, so that's a pretty tough opening schedule, I would say.
Yeah, well, the Rays and the Astros, as we'll talk about, yeah, they are tough teams.
Okay, so, did you want to do the season preview, or there's some notes about around the league in here, too? But
let's do the season preview, and then we'll finish off with some around the league notes.
Okay, I got mine pulled up. Why don't you get started? Where do you want to start with first?
Well, let's start with the NL. We'll finish off with the AL East just to keep people in suspense. But I'll start off with the NL. Let's go with the NL Central because we're pretty familiar with this division, having watched a lot of Brewers games in our first season of this show. I'm going to start at the bottom. I believe the bottom team in the Central will be the Pirates, although they're not as bad historically. Like last year, we saw them have a big improvement. So the Pirates are going to be last. Does that match up against your last place team?
No, it does not. I have the Reds in last place.
The Reds. That's interesting.
I will just say that my fourth and fifth teams in some cases are interchangeable. I see them as probably in some divisions equally as bad, but not all, that's not the case for all divisions.
I see. You have the Reds. Okay. I have above the Pirates in the fourth spot, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay. No, I have the Pirates there.
Oh, okay. So did I say above the Reds? I said above the Pirates, I have the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
Basically, the Brewers, they traded away Corbin Burns. They are having some injury problems with their starting rotation. They're not going to be as strong of a team this year. And they lost their manager to the Cubs, Craig Counsell. So, yeah, I don't think that they're going to be as good this year. They're kind of doing one of those, like, retooling years, I think. But they're a similar team to the Rays where they do have some key players that come in and do play well for them. But yeah, I think the Brewers are going to be the fourth place team in the Central.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you keep going through your list and then okay. I'll finish off mine. So, you know, I have Reds and Pirates, fifth sure. and fourth.
Okay. So number three, I've got the Cardinals, and I've also, made them, I think they're going to be the most improved team in the NL this year. Because they were, if you remember, at the bottom of the Central last year, just a terrible team. For whatever reason, they didn't really focus too much on pitchers who could throw strikeouts. They were going more contact guys who were getting lit up pretty heavily. But they did attempt to kind of restock their starting rotation a little bit, and nobody expected them to be as bad as they were last year. So I think they're going to make a bit of a rebound. It's even possible for them to you know, challenge for the division, challenge for a wild card spot. So they're going to be they're my pick for most improved team in the NL. So they're the number three. Number two are those Cincinnati Reds. So I have them at number two. You have them at the bottom spot in the division.
Yeah.
They are going to keep on building upon their success from last year. They have solid pitching. They have a solid infield. They have one of the most exciting players in the league in Ellie De La Cruz. They have a lot of power. They have a small stadium. I think they're gonna just keep building on their success from last year. And by methods of deduction, my central champion are the Chicago Cubs.
All right.
Who are gonna build on their success. They re-signed Cody Bellinger. They got a new manager. There's lots of optimism for this team, and they're going to be better than they were last year for sure, and they're going to win the division.
Well, I will say that we're in agreement on the division champion there. I also picked the Cubs as the division leader. A lot of my choices are just based on peripheral knowledge of the teams and player changes, but also just some gut selections. So I had Reds at the bottom, Pirates fourth, I had the Brewers at number three, Cardinals number two, and then, yeah, the Cubs as the central champions.
Okay. So let's jump to the East now. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I'll start. I have a guess that we're probably going to be pretty similar in this division. So okay. I'll start from the bottom as well. I have the Nationals in last place, mm-hmm. followed by or behind the Marlins. Okay. And then I have the Mets at number three, the Phillies at number two, and the Braves as the NL East champions.
Yes, we are in total agreement on this.
Oh, 100% match?
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because the Nationals were, again, a better team than they seemed last year in the second half, especially. But I don't know if that success can last a second year. The Marlins, they are having some pitching injury problems. So I don't think they made the playoffs last year. And I don't think that they're going to build as much on their success because their arms are starting to fall off.
That's usually not good for sports.
Yeah, no, not good. The Mets, who knows what they're going to be? They could be better than expected. They could be, like, I'm expecting them to be, like, around a 500-ish team. You know, again, they're a team that are probably retooling this year and kind of, you know, looking towards next year as you know, targeting players to sign and trade for, et cetera. So, yeah, I don't think that the Mets are going to challenge this year just yet. But if they do, they can be kind of a thorn in a lot of teams' paws because they have an owner that's willing to spend. The Phillies, defending NL champ from 2023, are going to be a good team. And Atlanta, you know, they're going to repeat as division winners because they haven't really made a ton of changes as far as the team goes.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to the West to finish things off.
Yeah. One key change, before we go to the West, for Atlanta is that they added pitching. They're going to hopefully be better. Anyways. So the West, I bet you our last team place is in agreement here. I've got the Colorado Rockies in the last spot of the West Division, followed by, again, this is, I think, the second toughest division in MLB right now, because these are all some really good teams going forward, especially the Giants in the past week. They've improved their offseason quite a bit with the signing of Blake Snell and Jorge Soler and players like that and Matt Chapman. But the Giants are going to be in fourth place just because, you know, they still have a lot to prove and they have a hard stadium to hit in, a good stadium to pitch in, hard stadium to hit in. Padres are going to be the third place team. Again, they're going to be another tough team to match up against. Their pitching is good. They traded late for Dylan Cease, as we mentioned last week. They've got Yu Darvish. They've got Xander Bogaerts. They've got Fernando Tatis Jr. Jake Cronenworth, is due for some improvement. Who else do they have?
He's got to fix his glove, though.
He's got to fix his glove. Yeah, they've got a pretty decent team there. And then the Diamondbacks I have as being the second place team. But those three teams are gonna, you know, there's gonna be some juggling in the standings throughout the year. I think Diamondbacks are gonna be the second place team, and then the Dodgers are gonna win the division. I think the Dodgers will run away with this division. It won't be close, I don't think.
And that's not new. Like, that happens a lot year to year. Dodgers run away with the division. Our number one and number five are the same. So I have the Dodgers winning the division and Rockies in last place. But our two through four, I think my reasoning is kind of similar to when you're saying, like, there's going to be a lot of juggling around. I'm ranking these teams not so much in which team is worse, but just which teams are slightly better. So I have Diamondbacks at number four, Giants number three, Padres number two. I'm kind of seeing this division as like comparable to AL East in terms of difficulty.
Yeah, well, difficulty for the Giants, Padres, and Diamondbacks to catch the Dodgers, I think. They're going to be fighting amongst themselves for positioning for that wild card spot, which is going to make it a really just hard division to get out of.
Yeah. So speaking of, we have player awards as the predictions, but let's. What are your wild card teams for the NL?
Well, I've got, and this is the order that I think they'll finish. Phillies getting the first spot, Diamondbacks number two, and the Reds number three.
Okay, I have in order, Padres, Phillies, and Giants.
Padres, Phillies, and Giants. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, and who's your NL champ?
I said the Braves. It's not really choice.
I was a week ago, I would have said the Dodgers. But I think that this whole uncertainty around the whole Shohei Ohtani situation is gonna be a distraction for the Dodgers, and I think that, you know, like, there's not a huge difference between the Dodgers and the Atlanta Braves, but I think that that distraction is going to be the difference into who comes out of the NL.
So let's go to the American League.
Okay, what do you want to start with?
Let's go West, seeing as how we just came from the West. So I'll start off with mine. I'm, again, pretty sure our bottom team is not going to be any different. Athletics, whether they're the Oakland Athletics at the time, if they stay in Oakland.
They'll be Oakland.
And then I have Angels at number four, Mariners three, Astros two, and Rangers winning the division.
I see. Well, mine's different, other than the A's and Angels. So Angels bottom, then A's bottom, Angels above them, and I've got the the Rangers in the third place because they didn't do enough to improve their team this year. They didn't re-sign Jordan Montgomery. They did get I forget his name now. They signed a reliever. So the Rangers, I just don't think that they're going to be deep enough to make a run this year. Mariners, I have in second spot in the division because they're going to build, again, one of those teams that builds upon their success from the last year. They were very inconsistent throughout the year last year. They had a huge winning streak, and then they kind of, you know, like Julio Rodriguez had a slump, and then he had a hot streak, and he started slow the past couple of years. But I think that they're going to have a more consistent season this year. Again, they've got strong pitching. But I think the Astros have positioned themselves as far as their signings and just their strengths to be the division winner this year. Yes, it's the Astros' division to lose this year, I think. They did win it last year. They did win the division last year. But I think that they're gonna win the division this year. They look like a pretty strong team to me.
I almost had the Astros. For a little bit, I had the Astros as winning the division, but I decided to switch it up. I don't know exactly.
Yeah. Well, they've got good hitting. They've got strong relief pitching. They've got strong starting pitching, and if they want to, they haven't always shown that they do want to do this. But if they want to, they do have the money to spend on free agency. And Justin Verlander, I think, is injured, but he'll be back at some point. Like I said, for relief pitching, they just signed the best relief pitcher in the game, Josh Hader. They've got tons of great relief pitching, and they've got a good starting lineup, starting rotation. So they should be poised to win this division.
All right. Well, who do you have for the Central?
Central, I've got the White Sox on the bottom. They're just going to build on their lack of success from last year. Like last year, there were high hopes for the White Sox, and they just fell flat, and they will continue to fall flat. They traded away, like I said, Dylan Cease to the Padres, so it's going to be one of those rebuilding situations for them. The Royals, they will be an improved team last year. They had some injury problems, and they finished a lot worse, much, much worse. They were battling the A's for kind of worst and the White Sox too team. And so I think they've improved their pitching. Their young core are healing from injuries, recovering from injuries. So I think they'll be better than last year. Then I've got the Tigers, who are also going to be my most improved team. They've been pretty aggressive as far as signing players, like starting pitching and players like that. So they've got a young core that are going to improve. The Guardians are going to be number two, and then the Twins are going to repeat as Central champion. And this is the weakest division in all of baseball.
Yeah,
I should mention.
That's pretty much that is the order that I have as well. Twins, Guardians, Tigers, Royals, White Sox. I would say that I think the bottom, I would say Tigers and Royals are probably going to be fairly close. So like,
yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if that order changed somewhat. Yeah.
So far our Central and AL Central and NL East are perfect matches, in our predictions. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we'll finish off with the AL East. I'll go first. I am pretty sure we're going to have different answers on this one.
Okay.
Maybe not for the bottom team. I have the Red Sox as fifth. Yes. I have Rays in fourth, Blue Jays in third, Orioles second, and Yankees being the division champions.
We are close to being matches, actually, surprisingly. I've got, again, Red Sox. Yeah. There on the bottom, and then Rays just above them. Jays number three. I've got Yankees in the second spot, and Orioles repeating as division winners because the Orioles lots of good young teams are building upon success, and the Orioles are doing that. They signed Corbin Burns. They strengthened their starting rotation, and their young players are just gonna get even better going from there. The Yankees, they are having some pitching issues with Garrett Cole. But they have improved their team. They have Juan Soto, which will be – it's going to hurt my heart to watch Juan Soto wear pinstripes, Yankee pinstripes, and watch him play against the Jays on a regular basis because he is one of my favorite players to watch. The Jays, I think, you know, maybe we're being a bit hopeful because a lot of people are kind of saying they could be in the fourth spot. The Rays are impossible to predict. But the Jays, I guess we're being hopeful and thinking that the Jays are going to, you know, improve upon their, or just keep, I don't know if they're going to improve a lot as far as their win total goes, but they're just going to stay consistent as far as being a winning team.
Yeah, I'm being
hopeful. It's just so tough in this division.
Yeah, I'm being hopeful with the Blue Jays for sure, which based on my wild card teams, because I'll just say this. If the Blue Jays were fourth, then all the wild card teams would have to come from the AL East.
That's true. I think maybe that influenced our wild card picking decisions.
So I'll go with my wild card choices. In order, I have the Orioles, and then the Blue Jays, and then the Astros.
Okay, I got Yankees, Mariners, Jays. I think the Jays are going to squeeze in there. Hopefully they'll have better success in that three-game series as they did than they did last year.
Yeah, I would say probably Jays and Astros are close. I could switch those up pretty easily, putting the Jays at number three. But I'm being hopeful. Who is your American League champion?
I've got the Astros as my AL champion.
I'm actually going with the Yankees.
Yankees, interesting.
Not that I want them to, but it's just my choice. So so then I have Yankees versus Braves for the World Series. So what is yours again? Astros
versus Braves.
Okay. And who do you have as winning?
One of those teams. The playoffs are hard to predict because, you know, there's not the high number of games that the regular season has. So it's hard to predict who's going to win, as we've seen with, like, oh, you know what? Here's an error. I'm going to call myself out on an error. I said the Phillies were the NL East champ for 2023. It was the Diamondbacks. They made that big that run that nobody saw coming last year.
So interesting, and same though.
With the Orioles last year, like, nobody thought the Orioles were going to win 100 games, let alone with, you know, make the playoffs. So nobody saw, you know, nobody sees a lot of these teams having success in the playoffs. So it is very hard to predict MLB playoffs. But that being said, I think, you know, based on my feelings about how successful Atlanta's going to be in the regular season, they should win the World Series. It's their World Series to lose.
I picked the Braves to win also. I just find it interesting, though, that we both picked division winners to be in the World Series, even though, as you pointed out, several in the last few playoffs, it's been either a wild card or a wild card team in the World Series matchup. So it's maybe we should have picked a different team, maybe a wild card team to be in the World Series, but who knows?
Yeah, well, the thing about the division winners, especially if you're the best team like Atlanta, you do get that first round bye. So the top two division winners will get a first round bye. So they have, in theory, the better pathway going forward to win. But like you said, it's insane how these things go.
Yeah. Okay. So, player awards. We just did Cy Young and MVP. So why don't we do Cy Young for both leagues, and then we'll do MVP. So, I'll start with the NL. I picked for Cy Young Zach Wheeler. I guess he's from the Phillies, right?
That's a good choice. He just came off of signing a huge contract extension, $40 million, I think, something like that per season. So he's Philly's best pitcher. Yeah, I chose Spencer Strider from Atlanta as my Cy Young Award winner,
otherwise known as Spencer Aragorn.
If you want to call him that, sure.
Okay, who's your AL Cy Young winner?
AL Cy Young, I've got Corbin Burns. He's been a contender in the NL, so and he will have a lot of eyes on him and a lot of support from his offense.
I went out on a limb and went with Kevin Gausman. One of these days, the Blue Jays will win it.
Yeah, you know what? He is in the mix for one of the best pitchers around the league.
Yeah, I'm just going out on a limb because he's starting the season injured. He's not going to be in the rotation right away. So,
well, maybe those extra week or two that he has off to rest his arm will make the difference.
Okay, who is your NL MVP?
Repeat, Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, that's my choice as well. I feel like that's the easy choice, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, other than him, like it is a bit of a difficult choice. You could pick someone from the Dodgers. There's three potential options from the Dodgers. You've got Otani, you've got Mookie Betts, and you've got Freddie Freeman right there.
I don't think Otani will be in the race just because he's DH only. And
that doesn't mean anything. If he has a huge season, he'll be in the running for MVP. It's really hard to say who could be. Like, you know, you could get Bryce Harper for the Phillies as an MVP candidate. You could get just a number of different guys who could be big difference makers of the NL. But I think the safe bet is a guy who we know can hit. He's had some leg problems, I think, in the preseason, so he might not have as many stolen bases as last year, but he's got the hitting acumen and the power. Ronald Acuña Jr., I think, is a safe choice for MVP. Yeah.
I have for AL MVP, I have a choice, but with an asterisk.
Okay.
I think it's going to be, I picked Aaron Judge to have a bounce back year from mm-hmm. injury, mm-hmm. but the asterisk is if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes back and has a season like he had in 2021, I think it'll be Vladdy. Because he would have won it if Otani wasn't in the league in 2021, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought about Aaron Judge. I think his injury history is the problem. He's only really had that one full season where he hit 60 home runs or whatever the number was, 61, 62, and won the MVP. But I don't know if he can do that for a full season again. And you know, Juan Soto was another legitimate choice for MVP. But I went with Julio Rodriguez. I think he's going to put together a full consistent season. He's kind of like the AL version of Ronald Acuña Jr. He can steal bases. He can hit for power. He can hit for average. He's a good fielder. He's a good center fielder. So in those factors, I think, and you know, the fact that he's on a good team in theory, will win him the AL MVP award. But I do hope that he doesn't win it and that Vladdy puts together MVP numbers and wins that instead.
Yeah, that's my hope. I think we should check back on these predictions at the All-Star break and see how the standings are shaping up. And then once we get into the playoffs, we can compare the playoff picture to our predictions. I think that'll be a fun thing to do.
And you know what? You know, we talked about doing some news afterwards. There's not really a lot of news to talk about because I already mentioned the Blake Snell signing for the Giants. One thing I did notice, though, is that the Giants have another important signing.
Yes, you sent this one to me, an emotional support dog.
And I believe this was our idea. I was trying to find the audio, but I couldn't. So maybe if you know which episode we talked about and can find it, you can put in a little clip of us talking about it. But the Giants have employed an emotional support dog. They have a lot of coaches on their field. Now they have an emotional support dog as well, which might be the difference in a couple wins for them.
Well, as far as which episode that was, I'm not sure. I think that was like a couple years ago, I want to say.
Yeah.
So,
Who knows?
So, yeah. So maybe that emotional support dog will fuel them to number three in the NL West.
Yeah. And just to elaborate on the dog a little bit, his name is Willie. And according to this is an article from Minor League Baseball, MILB.com. Willie is trained for anxiety. He's able to provide calmness and anticipate anxiety attacks. Studies have shown that dogs can elevate levels of serotonin and dopamine, which results in a lower likelihood of depression. With hectic schedules that minor league players have, having Willie's presence in the clubhouse and on the field makes it easier to go through each day. It also opens players up and makes it easier for the advocates to get to know the players and build a relationship. So I'm not sure if this was just a spring training thing, but always nice to have a dog on the field.
For sure. I have the feeling it might be spring training only, but we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think that that wraps us up on time, because I have a volunteer event to get to later this afternoon in about an hour, but I have to leave before an hour. So we made pretty good time this week, I'd say.
Yes, and let's hope that with the pitch clocks, Major League Baseball makes pretty good time this year as well.
And I guess we'll be back then next week to talk about the the first three games?
Probably the first two games, because we usually record before the afternoon game on Sunday.
Yeah, well, first three, because they're playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, my math is not good this year. Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next time then.
Okay, bye-bye. Luke and Harry in the alley by the lights.